You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Friday, 16 August. Today, 1945, Korea was divided into North and South along the 38th parallel. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you loud and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mateta Tulari from RMB. The Exxaro results, a decrease in profits as coal demand and prices fell. Although, I suppose, they're managing maybe what they can. Well, we'll get his view on that. Leanne Emery Hunter, she's from the Youth Employment Service. Yes, unemployment, particularly solving women unemployment, as that is markedly higher than men. And thoughts for me on how much you will save as interest rates start coming down, and of course what to do with it. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Consumers should not trust their financial advisors. Absolutely, says the phrase Umbert. Should consider their advice in much the same way they consider the advice of a used car salesman. Wow. Business Day, Stadio sees earnings boost as student numbers rise, with enrollments up 8%, private university investor optimistic about the coming interim results. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 1.6%, NASDAQ up 2.5%. Over in the East, all green, Sydney up 0.25%, Tokyo up 2.9%, Hong Kong up 1.7%, and Tencent 1.4% higher. Commodities mostly green, exception is gold, 2,489, Brent is 88. Platinum 958, palladium 935. The rand 1799, Bitcoin 58,000, and top 40 opening call 190 points to the upside. That is 0.25% to the green.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Mateta Tulari, head of FX execution at RMB. Mateta, appreciate the early morning time. The Exxaro results, I suppose in many ways, we kind of saw it coming. Coal prices under pressure. They also talk around some demand issues. Transnet seems to be stabilizing and not getting worse anymore. Your take on the numbers? I mean, they're still paying. I mean, that dividend yield is still, what, high single digits?
Good morning, Simon. Yes, I mean, the coal production and sales for the 6 months to the end of June were down about 13 and 12% respectively, compared with the previous 6 months as a result, like you said, from the lower demand from Eskom and also the logistical challenges. Now, I suppose if you think an improved performance at some of the coal stations Eskom has, they've not implemented load shedding for more than 4 months now. We're approaching 5 months without any load shedding. Now, Exxaro's revenue remained close to $19 billion in the 6 months to June, very much in line with a year ago. I mean, the group's generated about 23% less cash at this point in time, at around close to $5 billion. And it's down from about $6.2 billion around a year ago. Now, the company said it's still within the 2024 market guidance, and they're trying to maintain about $12 to $15 billion worth of cash in their book. They've also declared a 7.9 rand dividend, interim dividend. But I suppose also, like they've said, the lackluster rail performance due to Transnet issues. We know them, the cable theft there, the derailments, the vandalism, that remains a challenge. But it looks like there is quite a lot of collaboration between Exxaro and also the other miners with regards to Transnet. And, it is realizing some benefits in terms of their service level agreements. But I think for me, the more important thing was really what's happening from an M&A perspective. I mean, they have said they're really confident that a deal will progress in the next 6 months. And they continue to evaluate opportunities to grow their clean metals portfolio. I mean, Exxaro is really looking to diversify their business towards cleaner minerals, including the likes of manganese, copper, vanadium. And I think these are quite vital to the low carbon future. I mean, The commodities that they're looking at, and it's very interesting enough, is that they're not in this country. And they've actually said that they're north of the borders of in the continent, in different commodities and also in different continents. I mean, if you remember in 2021, already Exxaro had said they're planning to diversify into all these other metals. And they said, they'd be targeting a deal by 2024. So it just shows you that, last year they revised their strategy and they said they're also looking at including some other materials such as lithium, but they have said that they're not looking at putting a deadline to some of these transactions. So it just shows you that, from an M&A perspective, and just like a lot of their, counterparts in the mining space, there is a deal coming. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, I take your point around that, and particularly into your thing. They're sort of shifting. They've also got their energy division as they kind of move away from coal. But also you mentioned Eskom there, and I suddenly remembered there was a point, and I forget it was Medupi or Khosela, but they said that they simply didn't supply as much coal as anticipated because Eskom was having issues. As Eskom starts to fix and we head for 5 months of no load shedding, this could see some more demand come for the likes of Exxaro and I suppose Thungela as well and some of the other junior coal miners.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, it's quite interesting, like you said, because obviously everybody is in that space. I think if you think about it, Transnet, total rail volumes at this point, also, like we said, they're increasing. I mean, I've seen them increasing about 6.7% year on year for the past quarter ended in June. The port container volumes, that's also increasing by around 4.6%. If you think of also, like you said earlier, Simon, the dividend yield on Thungela, 15.9%, on Exxaro, 10.3%. So it tells you a story that obviously at this point in time, if Eskom keeps performing like they're performing, it could potentially obviously derail their volumes. And obviously that means this is why they actually need to look elsewhere for how they diversify their interest, not only looking at Eskom as one of their biggest providers, but also trying to see what else can they start getting out of. I mean, also interestingly enough, I mean, some of the things that are included in that Exxaro portfolio is things like zinc. So not too sure whether it is going to be something that they are looking at as well, given the fact that also zinc prices over the past couple of days have also collapsed. But also, it is going to be quite interesting to see what other commodities, like they said, they're looking at different commodities, different continents. And I mean, it's quite interesting because there is looking like there is quite a big amount of diversification of their businesses across the board.
Yeah, and it is that shift from a well, I was going to say a primary coal producer, an exclusively coal producer, apart from the JV, but they've got the Sishen Iron Ore, of course, but otherwise it has always been coal. We'll leave it there, Mateta Tulari, head of FX execution at RMB. And that's our question today. Do you hold coal miners? I mean, as Mateta mentioned, they're great dividend. Perhaps you think they're under pressure. Perhaps you prefer Thungela. Perhaps that's the one you better are enjoying. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanlib Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Leanne Emery Hunter, COO of the Youth Employment Service. Yes, Leanne, appreciate the time today. We had unemployment data earlier in the week, 33.5% in the second quarter of 2024. That in of itself, a absolutely shocking number. But if we drive into it, even worse for women at 35.8%. We have an unemployment crisis in our country and we have a gender sensitive, in other words, a woman's unemployment crisis, perhaps even worse.
That's right. Thanks. Simon, there are just under 2 million less employed women than men in the economy right now. And if you look at Black women in particular and the expanded definition of unemployment, which includes, discouraged work seekers, etc., it's nearly 50% of women are unemployed. And in a country where we just haven't seen economic growth in the last 10 years, real economic growth, the crisis of unemployment has been exacerbated. And also, particularly for women, many women are underemployed. So, you know, because of the types of roles that they are able to access, and we can see that there's a lot of women who are taking up work like domestic work, etc., that many of these women are underemployed, and there are fewer women that are getting managerial positions, and there's certain sectors that still have a bit of a gender bias. And we know mm-hmm. that young women, all women, and particularly young women, face, you know, many challenges around still having to take on traditional roles. Often there's the issue of spatial inequality where people are living very far away from where they work, and particularly young mothers. So that's why what we do at YES is try and work with the private sector to get as many young women into employment as possible, and young men. But we find that of the 153,000 youth that have been employed through the Youth Employment Service in the last 5 years, 57 or 58% are women, because many of our clients are seeing and really purposefully creating programs that are inclusive to women.
That's an important point. What we need to get, in a sense, is making the environment right, I suppose, is what I'm looking for. And it's great that we're seeing women go into internships and the like, but it is an environment. One example, I mean, you know, recently a giant, one of the big corporates, built a fancy new head office, 5,000 staff, no childcare facilities. I mean, that is surely a simple way to at least make it easier for women to enter the labor force.
100%. And I'd love to see more businesses becoming aware of these types of factors, because especially in South Africa, the reality is that many young women are commuting far to get to work, and they have young children. And childcare facilities, a more supportive environment, mentorship programs assist young women with some of the real challenges that they are facing, even mental wellness, mental fitness, these types of things. The brunt of often running a household, I mean, of our youth, 53% come from grant recipient households. So there's a huge amount of social and economic pressure on young women. And if we as the private sector could play the role to place young women in future-facing roles so that they can be catalytic and they can go on to change the economy and the future, as well as the environment in which we work. There are societal factors at play that, you know, you can't snap your finger and they are all changed. But if we are really purposeful, really thoughtful and intentional, I think that we can make a huge difference, especially with technology. Technology means that a lot of roles that were physically inaccessible to young women are now different. You know, we have women in drone pilots that are flying drones in the security industry and mining. You know, the landscape is changing, and I think it's really about being intentional, because if we continue like this, we are likely to leave another generation behind.
Is there, and I want to get back to the private sector in a moment, but is there a space for government? On the one extreme, for example, we had the BEE laws. On the other extreme, perhaps there's some political parties who do equal gender representation in parliament. I mean, is there space for legislation, or is it this rather done in what is perhaps a bad phrase, a more soft touch, in other words, at corporate level and perhaps sort of nudging rather than legislating?
I think the YES in itself is a public-private partnership, and at sea, and the reason it is the biggest 12-month full-time quality jobs program in South Africa is partly because we have this incentive where businesses that join YES, they receive a BEE level up or two levels up, and they're also integrated with their sustainability strategies and other strategies. So I think YES has shown that when private sector works with the public sector hand in hand with this incentive, but it's private sector funded. So the 8.4 billion rand that has gone into the economy through salaries is through the private sector. And that's the magic of when the two work together. I think for me, you know, the role of government is not just related to young women, but all young job seekers. We have to have economic growth in order to be able to create more jobs in the economy. And that really is where the government comes in from a structural point of view. Hopefully with some of the load shedding being eased, we may see some greater uptick in the next quarter of employed people, but there's a lot of other factors like political stability, et cetera, that factor into job creation and a conducive environment for business to be able to create and thrive and create more jobs for young women and young men.
Yeah, and ultimately, I mean, economic growth isn't going to solve the problem, but economic growth is an important part of the solution. Going back to the private sector, I mean, I mentioned daycare or childcare facilities, and that almost just seems too simple. I mean, what sort of initiatives can the private sector really put in place? I mean, yes, you mentioned the numbers, your own organization, and it's encouraging, but you know, you're still sitting at the numbers where women are significantly more unemployed than men.
So I think when it comes to employment interventions, there's certain things that we've seen work really well, like our clients that are really intentional about hiring young women in future-facing sectors that can really make them employable in the future, and also often potentially placing youth, young women in communities where they are close to home and they're not having to travel for miles. So in our program, our clients may place youth in healthcare or education or digital technology or green energy that are actually in community. So not only are these young women able to be closer to home, but they're having an impact in their community. And I think far and wide business, you know, just to really be intentional about things like maternity and paternity leave, like it shouldn't all just hang on young women in terms of the parental care, child care, flexible hours. You know, use technology that helps young women to be able to thrive. And I think we are seeing some progress, but personally, I would love if the private sector and society at large, we acknowledge the difficulties that young women face in being able to thrive in the workforce and try to remove some of these barriers.
Yeah, and I love some of your ideas there. Paternity leave, flexibility, technology. None of them require huge effort. All of them are small little tweaks. And I take the point, all of them are small, but can have big impact. And that's really what we need here, exactly. Is big impact. We'll leave it there. That's Leanne Emery-Hunter, COO of the Youth Employment Service. Yes, appreciate the time.
Your money gives a damn. If it could protest and sign petitions, your money would. But your money can do more than that. When you invest in StanLib's infrastructure investment fund, beyond getting solid returns, you are helping to build a more sustainable future through job creation and positive economic growth. Damn right you are. Invest for more impact at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Some Friday thoughts from me on rates and how they're coming down and how they're going to hopefully improve our household expenses. 19 September is the MPC. It's the day after the FOMC and lots of anagrams there. But all intents and purposes, we will get at least a 0.25% rate cut. 0.25% reduces a 1 million rand home loan by about 170 rand a month. So a household with, what, a 2.5 million rand bond to finance cars, some other debt, you could see your interest payments for October down by $500. Now, it's not a lot by any stretch. And in an ideal world, you would carry on paying that extra 500 into the various different debt and pay off that home loan some quicker. But truthfully, that's not probably going to happen. Household budgets, household balance sheets have been under significant pressure. But of course, then another cut in November. Now it's $1,000 a month. By this time next year, could be two, maybe 3,000 less every month that we're paying in interest. The thing is, make a plan, because we all know what happens. If you don't do anything, that extra 500 rand is just going to disappear into the monthly spend. It'll just vanish, as money has a tendency to do sometimes. So, you know, plan, budget. I know, we hate budgets. We hate the word. We hate the process. But figure what you're going to do with it, because finally, there's a light at the end of the tunnel that isn't a train. That's it for today. We're chatting with Kieran Whitten from Anchor yesterday. We were talking particularly about the Advitech trading update. Stock is just off all-time highs. And certainly, we've now seen other updates from the other education stocks. And Kieran was saying, you know what, they like all three, although they potentially put different ones in different portfolios. We asked you if you thought there was some value in education stocks. Almost half of you said, yep, and that Advitech was your preferred. A third of you said, nope, none for you. And then the rest were split between saying, you know what, anyone of the three is good, or perhaps you're preferring Stadio or Kiro. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. Foreign tax credits.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.